Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Big day of 10 races at Sportsbet Ballarat yesterday. Unfortunately, the weather gods did shine on Belinda Glass and the team there, and the crowd did enjoy being on course at Ballarat yesterday. Group 1 racing at Ascot, West Australia, with the Railway Stakes, the Gong, Kembla in New South Wales. So as I welcome Dean Lester to the program, we've got plenty to talk about in this hour, Dean, before Brendan takes over for Sunday Central.
Yes, we do, Warren. Good morning to you. It was a good day of racing, wasn't it? Ballarat was terrific. Plenty of interest in the Gong meeting at Kembla, and then settled into a night of racing in Perth. So there's a long spread of races.
Calling three codes and radio commitments. You're a busy enough man, Brendan Delaney, but another spring to your bow yesterday, emceeing the presentations at Ballarat. How did you enjoy that? It knocked him out, Dino, I think. He hasn't been able to recover from it.
Stuck for words.
Speechless. He hasn't. He's lost his voice. We'll get to Brendan shortly, but he was there doing the mounting yards. And great to see owners on course yesterday, Dean, being able to get into the mounting yard and accept their trophies. It's such an important part of the race day experience, Dean.
Yeah, the recognition of what you've achieved as it can be a very long journey, and we saw that even though he didn't win yesterday, a horse like Thought of That, we've seen the ups and downs through his career of what can happen with a horse, and Zaydani, we've watched the rise and rise of, and yesterday another step in the partnership of the brothers Ben and JD, and of course Wilda joined them soon enough.
After a busy day emceeing the presentations yesterday at Sportsbet Ballarat, Brendan is with us this morning. How's your voice this morning, Brendan?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, Warren. Late call up on Friday afternoon, so happy to enter the call and go out for a day at the races. It was a fabulous day there yesterday at Ballarat. I think there were 75 tickets left race morning of the 5,000 they had allocated before it was thrown open pretty much on Friday afternoon or Thursday, but they stuck to their 5,000. Speaking to people at the track, they thought there was a great number. Everyone had a wonderful day. Racing was brilliant, and well done to Belinda Glass and Brad Fisher, the chairman. They put on a really good show there yesterday.
You were able to get front and centre with the winning connections during those presentations, so obviously they're going to be in a great frame of mind. But how good was it to be able to see owners back at the track and enjoying that experience?
It was almost like we had a bit of editing happening in our lives where you just chopped 2 years out and stitched it back together and forgot COVID ever happened yesterday at the races. But, the joy of a lot of the owners' faces to get in the mounting yard, go give their horse a pat after they won. There was plenty of happy people there yesterday.
Zaydani lined up in the feature, the $500,000 Sportsbet Ballarat Cup.
As they come up towards the home corner in the Sportsbet Ballarat Cup at the 600. Thought of That meets just now, steadily picks up the tempo and led by a length to Yonkers. Now they quicken 2 lengths. Vanna Girl, Bartholomew Diaz, Skyman to the middle of the track from Papalino. Zaydani is going to cut the corner and makes up ground on the fence from Charlize. It's Thought of That at the 250. Goes for home in the Ballarat Cup. A length and a half, Zaydani, Yonkers, Vanna Girl and Skyman. Thought of That's got plenty of company trying to fend off Zaydani. Yonkers and Vanna Girl lifting, stretched across the track. Zaydani up on the inside, scraping paint, and Yonkers. Zaydani! Zaydani beat Yonkers and Vanna Girl. Photo 4, Thought of That, or on the outside.
How'd you see the cup? Great call there from Matty Hill, Dino. How did you see it?
Yeah, it's the three runnings of it at 2,000 metres. It's ended up very close finishes every year, and it didn't let us down. Zaydani, Luke Nolan knows that short way home on her, and just waited for that last little bit for Thought of That, just under pressure to wander off, and got through to win. Yonkers was the one that applied the pressure to Thought of That. I thought Flash R might be the horse that went up and did that, but Damien Oliver, being proactive, did that and all but got the prize. Certainly did enough to probably bring Thought of That undone. Vanna Girl was very good. Thought of That wasn't beaten far. He's been beaten less than a length. He's run well. And Foxy Frieda, I'm absolutely convinced there's a big race in her. That was an enormous run from the draw. Daniel Moore couldn't do anything about it, but when you look at the path travel between the winner and her, I think hers was the best run in the race.
Agree with that, Dino. Thought of That from the stewards' report. Linda Meach reported that as her man had to work hard in the early stages, didn't quite finish off as well as she would have liked. Well, how did you see in terms of the work that Thought of That was forced to do early?
Yeah, I thought he'd got away with it pretty well and ramped it up at a good time. And I think Damien Oliver was happy to go with it because with the big weight, he needed the rolling speed. And, yeah, look, he hasn't been beaten far, thought of that. He's run well. I think that's his fourth run at Ballarat now and his fourth miss. So maybe even though it's his home track, it's not his best track.
Thoughts on the Cup, Brendan?
Yeah, terrific ride from Luke Nolan. I thought halfway along the back straight, Linda had just about got it right on thought of that, and he was going to prove hard to run down. He just felt the pinch that last 100 metres, and maybe that little bit of early work did tell, as mentioned there in the stewards' report. Yonkers solid in the breeze. Vanna Girl, she had the right run following the thought of that back on the inside, and she was the one that came clear of the fence to let Zaidani come through. But it was a race that was, apart from Foxy Frieda, controlled by those horses closer to the speed. Foxy Frieda's run was enormous. Out the back, stopped in her tracks at the top of the straight, albeit by her favourite Godaline. She had to wait for Godaline to get out of the way before Daniel Moore could get her to the outside, and that was an enormous effort from her. And those horses back in the field with the bigger weights really couldn't get into it. WT, Defibrillate, the likes of those that were out the back, just with the way that the race set up through the middle stages, it was really hard for those horses to get into it that were carrying much more weight than Foxy Frieda was carrying with the 54.
Close to the end of the prep for many of these, Dean. We heard from Ben Hayes that Zaidani will enjoy a little break, but if any of these were early enough in the prep to perhaps head on to Pakenham in a couple of weeks and step up in distance, is there one or two we should keep an eye on?
Yep, in a twinkling. He's going well for Lindsay Smith. He ran well at Cranbourne last week. He had to back up quickly this week, probably to get into the time frame now to go to Pakenham and then maybe a race like the Bagot. I think he'll win one of those longer staying races. He had reasonable New Zealand staying form, obviously, and I think both of his runs for the stable have been good. I think he's ticking over well.
Anything from your perspective there, Brendan?
Papalino, I think he's going along okay. He hasn't had too many runs this time in. He found the line there okay yesterday. And maybe a horse like Defibrillate, maybe stepping out in trip again. His best work seems to be around that 2,000, but maybe he might be one to push on to a Bagot or to Pakenham. He did have a bit of time between his run in the Geelong Cup and stepping out there yesterday, so he might still have a little bit of petrol in the tank with the speed against him yesterday.
Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace had the bases loaded at Sportsbet Ballarat yesterday. They kicked off with a favourite, close to even money, Lighthouse at her second Australian start.
Around the turn, 350 out, it's Do You Reckon, given its head, led by a length and a half to Lighthouse came in, Frankie Pino, and then look closely, but the favourite Lighthouse moves up to Do You Reckon. Kurabui's going to run a clear last, but moving up Lighthouse at the 100 metres, takes the lead, draws clear from Do You Reckon and Frankie Pino, and Lighthouse from Del Mar to Dowling Forest, one at 3/4 of a length. Frankie Pino second, Do You Reckon third, then...
Oh, he's a marvel, Matty Hill. I think he did a Baden-Baden to Hawkesbury sometime a few years ago. He loves his little bit of geography in his calls. Brendan, what did you make of the win of Lighthouse?
Yeah, perfectly ridden by Matt Cartwright. Got into a lovely spot. Do You Reckon went along at an okay speed, but just parked in the 1-1. Every time Matt pointed her nose in a direction, she went there for him, got the better of Do You Reckon, who was solid up on the speed, but was probably entitled to be. Frankie Pino got back, speed didn't suit, had to push out, has chased on okay, and came in, had a soft run behind, was probably just a little bit disappointing. Like, didn't mind the run of Look Closely, Stayer first up. We've only seen him once here in Australia, that was back in June, but at 1400 metres, which looked maybe an unsuitable distance if you go back and have a look at the trips he got overseas, he tracked into the race okay just the last little bit. He just got a little bit tired, but you'd probably expect that, and maybe just a little bit outdashed. But you'd think going through the summer months, he might be a horse that can step up and pick up a race over a lot further than the 1400 that we seen yesterday.
Your take on this race, Dan?
Yeah, they went along at a reasonable speed for a small field, and I think Lighthouse has obviously got a fair bit more upside than this grade, and maybe see aiming at a race like the Chester Manifold, which has found a new time slot on New Year's Day now, and I think probably the timing would be right for her to have one more run and into a race like that. Frankie Pino just keeps running well, and agree with Brendan. I think the stayer there looked closely, did enough. We know his international form lines read really well through some of our staying races. So, you know, if he can recapture that sort of form, he's going to well and truly pay his way.
Kurabui was the story out of the race from a disappointment point of view, beaten 30.05 lengths, to be precise, and eased down over the last 200 metres. Jai McNeil reported that to be placed under pressure, straightening the mare failed to respond to his riding and felt a miss. Post-race veterinary examination revealed an irregular heart rhythm, so an excuse for Kurabui Dean, but she can't start until the stewards have received a satisfactory veterinary report, which includes galloping and an ECG result from that completed 30 minutes after a gallop of at least 1,000 metres. So back to the drawing board for Kurabui. Hopefully it's just a minor hiccup and she can get over that.
Yeah, let's hope so, because yeah, that was obviously totally out of character for her, and to find an issue was no surprise.
Kurabui, the disappointment, but Lighthouse, two wins in Australia, one on heavy ground, one on at this stage, a track that was rated a soft five but upgraded later on in the day. So showing some versatility, got the right run and was able to capitalise in the first at Sportsbet. Ballarat, cut and paste, get to the 1-1 from Aaron Eustace with decent rain in race two.
And a half, Jimmy the Bear, decent rain, leaves the slipstream three deep. Daily Bugle is tracking it, and then came under the whip swear by her from Sunfall. It's one goom as they reach the 250, joined by decent rain on the outside. McNeil hasn't flinched, and decent rain lets down and went for home. Put up two, three lengths, Jimmy the Bear, and also one goom from Sunfall, but decent rain darts clear, and she won easily. Decent rain from Jimmy the Bear, one goom third, Sunfall, then start.
Well, pre the meeting, Dean, I think the Marin Eustace stable had seven of the 10 favourites and things were going to script early. How did you see race two?
Well, certainly went to script in the first 200 metres because she just had a little bit of an awkward draw in the small field to overcome, but landed in the 1-1 with that good bit of speed early, and they actually went a very good gallop in this race, and Wongoon provided that with star midfielder, Blinker's first time racing a bit keenly, and decent rain getting onto the back of the stablemate there. Whilst that was going on, Jimmy the Bear just got held up. That only affected the margin. It didn't affect the result, but he should have finished a lot clearer second. Jimmy, he ran well. Sunfall did enough first up. Star midfielder, probably still in the learning phase. I thought he got a bit keen early. Daily Bugle, he's just not quite King Magnus. He just couldn't keep going for another run, but he was well held. And swear by her, I probably expected a bit more of, to be honest, and a little bit disappointed with her off the back of that Pakenham win. It looked a good win, but yeah, all honours with decent rain. She's been able to go everywhere and perform well without luck, and yesterday the luck went her way.
From Daily Bugle, Brendan, who had the form line that tied in with Decent Rain and Jimmy the Bear, Damien Thornton could offer no explanations for the Colts' disappointing performance and nothing from a veterinary examination. So perhaps, yes, as Dean said, he's no King Magnus. He's not going to have a 10 or 11 run preparation. Might be enough for now. Your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, you could probably forgive him for being a little bit tired after the campaign that he's had. But the last feature meeting we had at Ballarat in the lead up to the Ballarat Cup was the national program. Mar Eustace dominated that, and it looked like it was just going to keep following suit after the first two there yesterday. But just got into a lovely spot, did decent rain, 1-1, nice tempo, popped out, and it was evident from a long way out that she was going to be the winner. As Dean touched on with Jimmy the Bear, when decent rain was really had her revs up and cruising along, he was coming over heels and having to look for some clear air. Don't think he would have beat her. He might have got within a length and a half, maybe closer, but the winner was a little bit too good for him. Wongoon went along at a solid enough gallop, battled on okay. Starfall, Sunfall, I beg your pardon, did enough from the back, but decent rain just got a peach from McNeil in the 1-1, and the race set up nicely for her.
Heard from Ben Allen just before, Dean, that he thought that the track played beautifully, so good to hear from a rider who was out there competing. How did you see it play?
Yeah, I think so. It was no disadvantage to be on speed, but if the tempo was there, they could certainly run on. We saw evidence of that through the day. So, no, it was not a distinct bias of any sort, and given the weather, the track kept improving through the day.
How'd you see it, Brendan?
Yeah, thought it raced pretty well. The tempo played a big part in some of the races where they couldn't get into it from the back, particularly the Cup. Foxy Frieda tried to buck that trend, but she had 54 kilos from the back, and we know she's got an explosive turn of foot, so she was one that was able to make ground, but if the speed was on, it was possible for you to make ground. It was just that in some races that either the field size or the speed wasn't there for horses to run on.
Track was upgraded from a soft five to a good four following the running of race two at Sportsbet Ballarat. We got to the Magic Millions Classic this year, running the anti-clockwise direction. Cusack was up and about in the mounting yard on debut for Busutton and Young.
Blazing the trail by a neck to Cusack, two lengths King's Consort, the outer of Fly Nice getting a good run, and then came Art's Object Cover Star. Next in the field along the inside is Nothing Silly, and then Nanu Negation, and well back Laganya. So it's Epic Centre at the 250 with Cusack, Fly Nice a length and a half away full bore, and Cover Star down the middle of the track. It's Epic Centre, Cusack on the outer, Cover Star still trying to get there. Cusack got its head in front of Cover Star. Cusack holding on. Cover Star makes a lunge. I think Cusack just beat Cover Star. Epic Centre third, then King's Consort.
Stewart's report has Fly Nice, Brendan, who was had the Mar Eustace stable shooting for an early treble, getting that run in behind the speed. But Linda Meach commenting that the filly raced greenly and when placed under pressure failed to respond to her riding in the home straight. Your take on the two-year-old?
Yeah, through no fault of Linda, she had her in the right spot to keep that Mar Eustace run continuing, but Cusack was very, very keen to get on with things in the mounting yard. Froggy was lucky to get up onto its back and get it out onto the track, but typical Craig Newitt aggressive ride on a baby over a short trip, really fired out of that wide draw, put up on the speed, and was there to dig deep when it was required. Cover Star, midfield, touch wide, fraction keen early, but really attacked the line well. Epic Centre looked the biggest of the two-year-olds, and looks like there's still a bit of growing to do there, but was good up on the speed and battled it out well. King's Consort, I think, didn't do a bad job after covering ground, and Fly Nice, as we just touched on, had that nice run in behind them, but there wasn't much there when Linda Meach went to go for the button. But Cusack was good, but I think Craig Newitt's ride, the aggressiveness, went a long way to Cusack winning there yesterday.
Your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, pretty brave call by Matt, because I thought Cover Star had got the bob right on the line, but Cusack did a very good job to win, as you know, the pre-race antics and the aggressive nature of the ride, and he kept going well. I thought Cover Star, good debut, Epic Centre ran well. He trialled with King's Consort at Mornington, and they ran similar to how they ran in the trial, really. So they held their form. The interesting thing, I think, to come out of the race was the Maribyrnong plate didn't rate very well this year, and you had Nanu in fifth and Laganya well beaten. So maybe, just a little query on those, other than maybe the first two across the line in the Maribyrnong plate. And I thought the run late of Negation was good. Looked like a very immature horse in the yard, Warren, for Kirk Goldman, but seemed to hit the line nicely and looks to have some sort of future.
Yeah, you'd probably describe her as petite at this stage of her development, Dean. She'll no doubt mature and fill out as time goes on. And excited connections involved in Cusack, a number of them on course, and part of a, you know, ladies syndicate put together with that bonus up there for the first horse home in the with the ladies ownership. Already booked their trip to the Gold Coast, Dean, a number of them, so with travel back on and the borders open, there'll be a flood of people heading to the Gold Coast for that Magic Millions week, the carnival up there this year.
Yeah, it was a big race for the girls because Epic Centre was racing in the pink with the white gate crasher. So I think they're the girls, obviously, involved. So first and third, certainly trying to get to the Gold Coast.
At least he's earned his spot there, Cusack, a colt with a Busutton and Young stable and winning a good race on debut, and plenty of connections on there to enjoy it. A lot of anchors for the day revolved around Duchess of Dorset, Linda Meach riding for Simon Wilde.
So Say Angel and Way to Go Paula up around the turn at the 300. Ladies of London, our August Rose and Duchess of Dorset made a line of three now, and they're two lengths the commoner La Bella Costa Score and Garvok, but Duchess of Dorset lets down below the 200 metres and sprints clear. Two lengths Ladies of London, our August Rose, nothing else really coming on. Way to Go Paula from a long way back, but Duchess of Dorset won it easily. It was a stroll at the finish. Way to Go Paula possibly second from Ladies of London, our August
Anchor, as I said, in multis and best bets for many, Dean. She was not hard to find. How did she perform yesterday to your eye?
She performed very well, Warren. She has got a great racing manner about her in that she can put herself on the pace. She relaxed pretty well and then just got that nice little kick when required, and that's going to win her a lot of races, as it's done already, 4 of 6, and she was too good. I really liked that way to go. Paula got back to form. She came from the back of the field first up, just didn't go on the wet ground, but yesterday, good run to set her up well for... There's a 1,400 mares race at Pakenham in 2 weeks. I would say that's where she's going. Ladies of London, we hadn't seen her best form in Victoria. We probably still haven't, but that was better than what she'd shown. So that was a good starting point for her campaign, leading and running well. But, yeah, certainly the winner, a very good mare, going places, and the second mare's back on track.
Yeah, she might be the one to follow out of the meeting, or one of the horses to follow for me. Brendan, how did you see race 4?
Yeah, Duchess of Dorset got into a lovely spot behind what was probably a moderate enough speed that horses in the back of the field were really going to struggle to figure in the finish, and Linda Meats got the timing spot on Duchess of Dorset. Soft run, popped her out, put them away quite comfortably. Hard to miss way to go, Paula. Got a long way back in a race where the tempo wasn't there to suit her. Her closing effort was super. The leaders, Ladies in London, and our August Rose, I thought they both battled on pretty well. Garvok was okay, but Duchess of Dorset was pretty good with the ride that she got from Linda. Warren, you were front and centre in the mounting yard there yesterday. I caught a little bit of the mounting yards for the races. It would have been a bit of shock to some of these horses, particularly the three-year-olds that probably through their career haven't seen too many people at the races. It was quite a cauldron there in the mounting yard yesterday at Ballarat, but most seemed to handle it pretty well with something that they haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, there was a couple of races where a few of them got up and about. I think the two-year-old was probably the one there where there was most noticeable, and the winner was probably the biggest culprit there. But in general, I think the crowd were generally appreciative. There wasn't a lot of argy-bargy coming over the fence. I think in general, people were just very happy to be back there and being able to socialise. And I thought most horses seemed to cope well, Brendan. I don't think it was a real issue there yesterday. But, if you're sipping classic day at Sandown, at Caulfield next Saturday, maybe some bigger crowds there and horses that have been used to a more quiet environment, it could create some different reactions from some of the horses. So have to keep an eye on it. And it was just a pleasure to be out there in the sun in Ballarat yesterday. It was actually a balmy day for Ballarat conditions. Most enjoyable to be there. Dean, we know Rhino's a regular contributor via SMS, and if anyone hasn't done, track down Jo McKinnon's social media pages and have a look at her doing some mustering. It's some great footage that we can see there, Jo, on horseback working some cattle during the week. But Rhino then pretty quickly directs it back to trying to find winners for the future, Dino. And just wondering, how impressed were you with Unflinching winding the clock back 24 hours at the Valley Friday night?
You'd think Unflinching's going to win himself a lot of races because of his great racing style. Absolutely, he hasn't got the barrier technique down pat yet. He sort of goes upwards more than outwards, but as soon as his legs hit the ground, he goes. And he did that at Mornington, ran a very good figure there, and again on Friday night. And he had there were some fast horses in that race, and he led them easily and travelled so well for so long. So you'd think that there's a nice future there. I mean, he's going to have to, in time, maybe extend it beyond 1,000, but at the moment, those sort of races are there for the picking for him.
Damien Thornton drove him to the speed, and he won easily at Moonee Valley on Friday night, did Unflinching. And more wins in store for Duchess of Dorset, and perhaps way to go, Paula, a horse to follow out of race 4 at Sportsbet Ballarat yesterday. Dan Bowman had freshened up Ocean Beyond, back to 1,200 metres with Harry Coffey aboard.
A length Irish Songs Hawker Hurricane Neighbourhood as they approach the turn. 500 out, it's Fine Dane. By a length and a half, Yes Baby Yes and Serious Suspect. And then came the Gout, still 3 off the front from Ocean Beyond. Neighbourhood Irish Songs and Hawker Hurricane. Off the rails, Fine Dane gave a run for Serious Suspect. If it's good enough from Yes Baby Yes, the Gout, Ocean Beyond's darting through and looks a hope. Fine Dane below the 200 from Ocean Beyond. The Gout and Yes Baby Yes, still Fine Dane from Ocean Beyond, who's got it now, and the Gouch. Ocean Beyond takes the lead. The Gouch with a dive late. Ocean Beyond has beaten the Gouch. Fine Dane fourth. Yes Baby Yes.
Harry had to hold his nerve there, Brendan. I think he was wanting to come out, had to go back in. What was your thoughts on the way he was able to navigate through here?
He had to wait, had to count to 10, might have got the 5 before he chose to duck back to the inside. Serious Suspect helped him out a little bit there, the way that that he dropped out. But he was really good there, Ocean Beyond. He just needed that crack, and he got it. And he really attacked the line strongly. He was unlucky early on in his preparation. Went to Flemington last time out, went back to the inside. Similar sort of scenario to what he had there yesterday. Couldn't quite finish it off on Cup Day in a benchmark 90, but he was solid. He was really good there yesterday. Good reward for Harry Coffey and Dan Bowman. The Gouch was good. Midfield, one off. He really launched strongly late, a little bit further back than we've seen him. He was solid. Fine Dane Led was kept off the fence by Serious Suspect. He wasn't as free rolling as he can be yesterday, Serious Suspect. He did have the big weight, but maybe that could explain the poor performance from him, dropping off that last little bit. Maybe it wasn't his day there yesterday. Fine Dane battled on the speed all right, and Yes Baby Yes was there with its chance to win, but Ocean Beyond just needed that little bit of luck. Harry had to wait where he was from barrier one, and luckily enough the brakes came his way.
John Allen, who rode Serious Suspect, Brendan, he had no explanation in the stewards' report. He said the gelding was disappointing. He's, in his opinion, raced flat, and there was nothing from a post-race veterinary examination. I suppose looking at it, Dino, half-length back inside another horse is really a good spot to be. And the best we've seen of Serious Suspect might be when he gets his own little bubble down the straight.
Yeah, and he gets his own room, and that's why I think Patrick Maloney's ride here is really underrated in that he led, and you can see he looks two or three times. He could have led easily and gone to the fence, and then John Allen would have switched across his heels and been on his outside, and then Serious Suspect would have had his room. But Patrick Maloney, I'm sure he sat deliberately off the rail to virtually invite Serious Suspect up to the inside where he didn't really want to be. He doesn't like that, Serious Suspect. And I think Patrick's had experience with him in the past, so he knew him. The unfortunate thing for Patrick was that Serious Suspect dropped off so quickly that Ocean Beyond could get through. So, probably deserved a better result than running third on Fine Day, and it was a very, very clever ride. The Gouch ran well. Yes Baby Yes had trialled well, and I thought that was okay. She'll be better for that run. Neighbourhood made ground late. Irish Song's just plain. I liked him yesterday. He probably just doesn't win enough. But, it was a good effort for Ocean Beyond, because he was, even though he's been running in good races, he was, again, still well out of the handicaps yesterday. I think it was he was about 6 points out of the handicap, so 3 kilos. So it was a good effort for him to win. I thought Fine Dane, Paddy Maloney deserved a bit better.
Ocean Beyond tested out to 1,400 metres two starts ago, and a little fresh in back to 1,200. What are you learning about the pattern and the best race structure and distances in particular, Dean, for Ocean Beyond?
Oh, I hope they push on with the 1,400 option, Warren. I think he drew 1,400 from a wide draw in a good pressure race. So I think if he drew like he did yesterday in the 1,400, he'd have run a lot closer at Flemington. So, I don't think the 1,400 will hold fears for him. It's just a matter of race structure, and he just didn't draw right on Melbourne Cup Day.
One via the SMS that I didn't get to last week, Dean, just asking why Harry Coffey, John Allen and Jai McNeil in particular weren't riding last Saturday. And it was a special event for Harry Coffey last week. And I know you're pretty close with the family. Tell us a little bit more about last week.
Yeah, Dean Yendall, Ben Allen, Jared Fry, a couple of others. Certainly Dave Eustace was there. They were all at Harry Coffey's wedding up at the Murray Downs homestead, and I've seen photos of the day, and Harry and Taylor were wed, and Harry's come back a winner very quickly, and back into it today with a lot of rides on the home track at Swan Hill. But that's why all the boys weren't riding at Cranbourne last week.
Harry was back trying to pay for those celebrations, or part of them. Bought Ocean Beyond race 5 yesterday at Sportsbet Ballarat. There's a lot of anticipation about the resumption of Marabi in race 6. She didn't let anyone down.
Then Haystacks Calhoun, Beyond Midfield, Litchfield County, Imperial, Hilton, Brazen, Brando, Barragunda, El Burke, then Harlem Blues and No Quarantine. But it's Marabi at a high cruising speed at the 250, given her head, and she's 3 lengths in front of Magna Jet, Proper Rogue, Savannah Cloud, South Parade, and then Barragunda. Look at Marabi go at the 100. She's 5 in front, maybe even 6, 4 from 4. A star mare in the making. Marabi trotted in. Savannah Cloud second, Proper Rogue third, Magnet.
What did you make of that performance, Dino? It was much anticipated, and I think she might have even exceeded a lot of expectations.
Yeah, I think there was, I think on her race form, that's what you expected her to do, but there was a little thought about her second jump at how she was going, but she puts it down race day, and she runs fast time from the front, and she's very good, about, what, 1.2 seconds inside standard for the 1100 at Ballarat on good ground. It was just a tremendous win, 60.5 kilos, and for mine, the most exciting win of the day. Not the highest grade race, but the most exciting win. And you just, Ben Allen patting her with about 30 metres to go and letting her cruise down to the line. She's building that picket fence that we get excited about. She's 4 from 4. She's a 5-year-old, so she's obviously had her issues. But, where's the ceiling on her? I don't know. I'd hope that they aim up long-term in a race like the Sangster or something like that for mares, because I just think she's very exciting.
That was the race mentioned when I was having an off-air discussion with Ben Ascari for Racing.com after that win yesterday. We were trying to think who of the current batch of mares would be aiming up there. I suppose we've probably seen the best of a horse like September Run, Dean, and her best is down the straight, and other sprinting mares about, what's that, etc. There's going to be some competition, but it's probably a realistic aim with time to build to that.
Yeah, absolutely. She can build her profile, and with this summer series of sprint races, and I remember, like Peter Moody, I'm certainly not comparing it to Black Caviar, but the first thing was get Black Type, then get Group 1 and build. The next thing would be with a horse that's probably had her issues, get Black Type as quick as you can so that that's on her CV. And with the moving of these sprint races through December, with the Kensington, the Christmas Stakes, the Standish, that's a chance for her to build her rating, maybe winning one of those. And then maybe heading towards a race like the Sangster.
What did you make of that win yesterday, Brendan?
It was a real wow sort of moment, wasn't it? When at about the 250, she had the ears back, but she really flattened them back and went right to the bottom at about the 250 when she hit top speed. And only the really good horses can do that and have the ability to do that. And when she put that space on them, she's back, and just how good is she? The race behind her didn't change a lot. They were all sort of flat out chasing her. I think Savannah Cloud did a pretty good job. Any other time, any other race, you would think she's probably had the run of the race 3 wide with cover and then come 4 deep and chase on well. But she just ran into a very, very good mare there yesterday. Proper Rogue battled on okay, but Magna Jet was solid up on the speed, but had to take anything away from what Marabi did. Just that little moment at the 250 where she really laid the ears back as far as they can go, you knew she was pretty serious.
Outside of her devastating performance, Dean, I thought Proper Rogue, who was first up after a decent break, and he's a big, solid boy, he probably did enough first up to indicate that there's a preparation ahead from him that he can build into and have some success.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think with Mick Price, when horses develop problems, that they're either moved on to other stables or retired or whatever. But the fact they've persevered with him suggests that he's got, he's got a good record and that he's got something still in the tank and plenty to offer. And as you said, he'll improve off that run. I thought the run of Brazen Brando was very good. I know he's been racing for a while this prep, but he actually ran away from some nice horses late when he pushed out at the 200 underneath the likes of Litchfield Candy and Elberg. You'd think he'd probably just go to the line with them, but he actually ran away from them and hit the line quite well. So I think in his right grade, probably a Thursday benchmark race at Ballarat, something like that, he can, even Friday night at the Valley, he could run very well.
Mikey from Bendigo's chimed in via the SMS. Mikey, we'll get to the meeting at Ascot in Western Australia in the back part of this hour, but he's interested to know why William Pike's never in the conversation about the best jockey in Australia. Surely he should be. He had a day out with some terrific cattle underneath him yesterday, did Willie Pike at Ascot. And we'll get to that, Mikey, in the next 15, 20 minutes or so, talk about that meeting, particularly a couple of the features, the guineas, and in particular the Group 1, the Railway. We get to the 2,000-metre race, Race 7, Sportsbet Ballarat yesterday, benchmark 84, almost a consolation for the Ballarat Cup.
Messenger needs an out, then See What You Think and Sign of Assyria. Legend of Zorro at the 250. Just Benjamin giving strong chase. Silent Sovereign and Sign of Assyria getting out. Just Benjamin below the 200 metres takes Legend of Zorro. Sign of Assyria and Silent Sovereign. They're the threats now. Just Benjamin, Silent Sovereign together. Just Benjamin, Silent Sovereign, stride for stride. Just Benjamin or Silent Sovereign, maybe that order, but it is a photo. See What You Think for third from Kissinger.
We've got an SMS specific about Saracen Knight in this race from Laurie. We'll get to that shortly. Brendan, firstly, take us through your thoughts on the race.
Yeah, they went off at a solid enough gallop. Legend of Zorro was fractious in the barriers. They took him out, and when they let him out, he was pretty keen to get on with things. He rolled along at a good speed, which set up the race. Elcione, the favourite, sat up in the breeze. He was first to come under pressure. Just Benjamin had the right running behind him, and also Silent Sovereign, the other dead heater, had a run on the three wide line, which probably helped her. There are a few horses in this race that were a little bit victims of shuffle ups and being caught between horses. See What You Think, one of them, and Kissinger. They found good spots early, and as the race progressed, another one was Mimi's Award. They just kept on getting shuffled further and further back as the race progressed, and they've all finished off well, but Silent Sovereign had that chance to build the momentum. Just Benjamin got a good ride through. Sign of Assyria followed Just Benjamin. Probably could have done with some clearer air early to really go out and challenge them, but just maybe hit the wall a little bit late. Kissinger didn't have the most amount of room in the early part of the straight. Got into a bit of a duel there with See What You Think. Yendel was pretty keen to hold Kissinger in underneath. Mimi's Award closed well. Saracen Knight, I thought, was a nice tick off progressing down the track, and I thought Skelm did enough back to the inside. The horse I like from this race is See What You Think. He's a 6 year old. We've seen him go to Mortlake and win. Ararat, he was off the bit and flat-footed a long way from home. Similar situation there yesterday. He's still very raw in the way he goes about his racing, although he is an older horse. But you would think once he puts it together, there's a nice race in him.
Dino, interesting side note to this race is that the jockeys of the dead heaters were both suspended for overuse of the whip.
Yes.
What did you make of the race?
And Brett probably wanted to have a look at the photo. If you saw the low-down shot, he'd have probably been happy with the dead heat, I think. But, it was a lot higher pressure than the Cup. They ran a lot quicker time than the Cup, and Legend of Zorro was responsible for that. And that's why I think Elcione put up the white flag at about the 500. I think Kissinger's unlucky not to get a mention in the stewards' report. He just had to stop and wait to get a run at a crucial stage. Put him in the absolute right spot on the back of Elcione, but it didn't take him anywhere. And on his outside was fifth position, who was another one of the favourites, and he was gone at about the same time, so he had to switch across those heels pretty quickly. And then, as Brendan said, Dean Yendel on See What You Think was pretty keen to keep him in restricted room. So I think Kissinger should have won the race and probably won by about a length. But the dead heaters, See What You Think, was very good. I think Sign of Assyria with the weight, I thought, ran well. As Brendan mentioned, Skelm's building up to his annual win over summer. He wins a couple usually, and he's ticking over okay. And, Saracen Knight, I think, probably looks as though he's just being trained to get over a bit further, and he's ticking over quite well.
One specifically about Saracen Knight, and I'll get to that, Dino, because it does reference the fact that the race was run at a solid tempo, and just wondering if the way that race shaped up and maybe, you know, the strong horse, the fast tempo, it was probably a task, almost a tough task for Alana Kelly, given that, you know, she's still, you know, a claiming apprentice, so to speak, and that maybe that wasn't, you know, the right scenario to get the best out of Saracen Knight yesterday.
No, I couldn't sort of agree with that. I think he's going well, and he's suited by fast speeds. Just wanted to lay him behind Mimi's Award at about the 300, but he might have finished a length closer, and that puts him, you know, a length off the winner. So, you know, he's run well. I don't think there's any fault of the ride, though. I think he's suited to fast speeds and coming off a fast speed. We saw that when he won at Caulfield back in September of last year.
And Laurie, wondering where you think he might go now, Saracen Knight, Dean.
Oh, I just wonder if a few of these horses are going towards Pakenham, whether they go to the benchmark race on the day or the cup itself. So I think you would think they're going that way. And I think you can trust this form to a degree because it was run at such a solid speed.
Reading from the stewards' report regarding a couple of horses that were disappointing from a market perspective, fifth position race wide without cover from the 1,400-metre mark. John Allen could offer no explanation for the performance, nothing from a veterinary examination. And Alcyone raced wide in the early stages until striding forward, settled outside the leader, the 1,400-metres mark. As a beaten favourite, Damien Oliver reported the gelding race flat and was disappointing. A post-race veterinary examination failed to reveal any abnormalities. But they'll follow up with the stable, Dean. We got one via the SMS from a number who's a regular contributor. Thanks for contributing. He's not a big fan of my work, but that's OK. That's his opinion. But Alcyone, heard it before, had enough. The game's a joke on occasions. What do you make of that comment regarding Alcyone, Dean?
With regard to that it's had enough, I just don't think he's ever been in as... Looking at his career, he's been in two high-pressure races now, yesterday and the Geelong Classic, and he failed both times. He likes a nice, gentle building speed, and he finishes off well. The two times he's been exposed to real pressure, he has come up short.
So I suppose in that way, if you're trying to make the most of Alcyone for the future, that trying to figure out whether you think it's going to be a high-pressure race or whether he's going to be able to get a nice cushy run just in a spot and then use his sprint over a period of time. That helps you figure out when you want to chime in with Alcyone, Dean.
Well, I would think so, yeah. And I was forgiving of the Geelong run last year because I think he pulled up maybe with a bit of a throat condition at that stage. So, but it's now, you can look at his figures and he runs below average the first half of the race and he runs well. If it's above average figure, he battles. And that's the second time he's done that. And yeah, he was coming off a long spell and he's had four runs over a period of 3 or 4 months. So it has been probably a long, even though he's only had four runs before yesterday, he's had a long, slow build up. So I think you can take these sort of comments on board. They're not just throwaway lines.
Typhoon Harmony hadn't had a lot of luck in recent times. The Galagotas team were hoping for clear air. They got exactly that with Jai McNeil aboard in race 9 yesterday.
Are approaching the turn. Typhoon Harmony is about four off the lead, easing out and about to present. Then came Tatanka Magnetic Edge. Then came Midas Prince and back behind them Our Mantra. New choice about to be joined and headed by Typhoon Harmony, who went for home at the 200 metres. Two lengths, three lengths, four lengths Night Passage, and then Tatanka Magnetic Edge Saltpeter. But it's all Typhoon Harmony for Jai McNeil, and Typhoon Harmony strolled in. Irish Butterfly got through for second. Magnetic Edge.
One of the more dominant wins of the day. Dean, how did you see this race unfold?
Yeah, well, it was a matter of just getting that good spot early, which he did, he raced a little bit closer than usual, but you know, that's what a good barrier draw allows you to do. And on the back of what looked a pretty generous speed, he was able to, you know, really power away. And it's been a very good training effort by the Galagotises with this horse, because I thought he probably battled beyond 1,400 metres early in the campaign, and then he won that pretty sharp race at Mornington, and then he's run so well at a mile since. So they've just got him stronger and stronger and persisted running over the longer trips, and he did it well. Irish Butterfly was a good return. First up, ran well. The Adelaide Visitor Magnetic Edge was sound. Tatanka's running quite well. Seen his Express got back. Just wonder if he's getting towards the end of it. New Choice was the one I thought at odds had a chance. Might have just needed that really hard run on a hot speed, but Typhoon Harmony had the right form. You just wanted him to probably go again after that run at Flemington, and he did.
Degree of lameness also with Cena's Express in the stewards report, Dean. So, and he has had a long preparation, as had the winner. The winner was able to dominate yesterday. How did you see this race unfold, Brendan?
Yeah, speed really helped Jai McNeil on the fence early. They were busted up when they went past 1,000. He was just able to roll off the fence coming off that bend onto the side and allowed him to flow into the race beautifully. And the leaders had done some work. He was first to get there, put them away very well. Irish Butterfly good from the back. Magnetic Edge followed the winner from about the 1,000 metres. Just didn't have the same acceleration from the top of the straight. Tatanka's not far away from winning a race. Saltpeter closed off well. Night Passage. I would have liked to have seen her a couple of pairs further back than she was. She was sort of dictated to go forward from that wide draw. Had she drawn better and sort of been midfield or a little bit further back, she might have finished the race off a little bit better. She just got tired after chasing that close speed. And Sakaro, who led them, beaten 16 lengths, he just got fired up and went way too hard. But a nice ride from Jai McNeil. Every time he needed to be in the right position, he was there.
Formula Bet's been having a good run in recent times. Dino, can you remember a more painless watch for the two legs of the Formula Bet?
No, our contestant Alan Rolfe of Burramine yesterday had Duchess of Dorset and Moorabi running for him, so he picked up just over $400 in a pretty easy fashion, I thought, Warren.
Yeah, they both lobbed into well, Moorabi just dominated, and you didn't want to be on anyone else other than Duchess of Dorset. So well done to you, Dino, and congratulations to your contestant. A free hit there and a good prize. We get to the last. Ben Allen was aboard Moorabi. He didn't have quite the upside with Aqua Girl, but he's got a great association with the Stokes stable, and she was strong to the line, winning the last.
From Starry Legend, and at the end, Transplant, tightly packed around the corner at the 400. It's Butter Blonde, Kick for Home, about a length easy single, glistening up the middle with Aqua Girl, Never Say Nay, and ranting behind those from Starry Legend. Butter Blonde in front, here's Easy Single striking the front now, ranting and glistening still there. Easy Single approaching the 100, ranting, trying hard, and Aqua Girl in the middle. Easy Single and Aqua Girl, stride for stride. Aqua Girl. Aqua Girl, I reckon's beaten Easy Single and ranting for...
Stuart's report, Brendan, has Never Say Nay held up from the 300-metre mark until having to shift out to the 150. We've got an SMS from a listener who's still in the fetal position having something on Never Say Nay. How did you see the last?
Yeah, it wasn't a great day for Never Say Nay. Never saw a lot of daylight, but they didn't go at a hard speed. And Aqua Girl was doing a good job to close off that speed. Easy Single was right up there in that firing line, stuck it out well. Ranting was there with his chance back to the inside, had the nice run in behind. Gaps appeared, couldn't close it off. I thought Glistening stuck it out nicely, and an Authentic Jewel just didn't look comfortable at all off the track, and didn't look happy around the turn and in the early part of the straight. But yeah, Aqua Girl, the Cordy killer for me yesterday, was strong enough there at the end and back round a turn, maybe in her favour.
Thought from a speed map point of view, Dino, I don't know if I've ever got a race more wrong in terms of thinking there was good speed from certain horses who didn't settle anywhere near the speed in this race.
Yeah, it was like they all decided that it was going to be too busy. I don't think. The way that Starry Legend began helped his cause, obviously. But, yeah, Butter Blonde came across. I sort of had that envisaged. But, yeah, they didn't go hard and they bunched. And, yeah, I was sort of giving Glistening a good hope because I thought she'd be three wide with cover. Well, she was three wide facing the breeze. She ran quite well, as Brendan said. I don't think I've seen one as awkward for a while as Authentic Jewel on the wrong leg. She was on it the whole way. She was trying to turn back to Sydney on the home turn. She really got it wrong. But it was, yeah, Aqua Girl closing late. Easy Single was very good because under the weight scale, he was really poorly treated with the set weights and penalties, how it worked out. He had the same weight as Randy. He'd won a Blue Sapphire and he'd won a Friday night at the Valley. So he did a good job to run well. And Glistening, it's just been a preparation to forget in Melbourne. Not much has gone right. She's run very well again yesterday, but without winning. And Starry Legend, well, maybe they learned something with him when he began poorly ridden back. He ran quite well, but yeah, pretty bunch finish and Never Say Nay, as our SMS listener mentioned, had no luck when he needed it back on the inside.
Yeah, Starry Legend slow to begin, and Michael D noted in the Stewards report didn't want to hunt him to get him over racing as he can do. And Jai McNeil noting for all of those that watched the race that was fairly obvious that Authentic Jewel did not appreciate racing in the anti-clockwise direction, as Dean said. She actually tried to go clockwise at one stage. So that was an experiment that didn't work with Authentic Jewel, but the experiment of getting crowds back on course at Sportsbet Ballarat yesterday was fantastic. A great day was had by all. I'm sure the town was buzzing last night. We've got plenty more to talk about in this hour. We'll turn our attention to the West, Ascot and the Gong.
Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
Velvet King up to the turn they come. Massimo straightened for home, only a half a length over. Little Dance Music about to lay down the gauntlet. Here comes the ominous shadow of Western Empire letting loose on the outside of Comfort Me. Pike's hardly flinched. 150 left to go, and the Hot Pot storms up, grab the lead. This is all over. It's all over, bar the shouting. The Empire reigns supreme. Western Empire won it by four. Second home, Comfort Me, kiss on all four cheeks. Third ahead of Notorious. 1-2.
Right up there with some of our best callers, Darren McCauley. Dino, what did you make of that win, and where do you think Western Empire can fit in when we do see him take on some Eastern Raiders, either over there or over here?
Yeah, he rates very highly. Probably last year's railway was run at a faster speed, a lot faster speed early, but this was a more controlled gallop, but just such a strong finishing effort by Western Empire. And yeah, he's very good. Probably the thing that surprised me was how well for a Derby winner he got in at the weights, considering it was basically a domestic race. You'd think that no wonder he was so short, and off his first up win he justified that quote. And William Pike didn't have to do too much worrying in the run. It was a pretty sweet watch. And he's now won 7 of his 12. He's obviously, as I said, he's won a Mel Vista, he's won a Derby, he's won an Asian Bow, now he's won a Railway. He's an exciting horse.
The team have won an All-Star Mile. Does he fit into that category yet?
Yes, I think he does. He's certainly up there with Regal Power, previous Railway winner, and he's certainly in that category. As I said yesterday, incredibly well-weighted, but first three across the line were all on that same weight. So, basically met them at level weights, and he towed them up. And he's just such a... what he has developed is he's a lot calmer than he used to be. He used to get a bit wound up. It's a bit of a typical Ifrage, but he just relaxed beautifully in the run yesterday.
What's your thoughts on the Group 1, Brendan?
The thing I take away from him is that he probably looks like he wants further. Like anything 1600, the win first up was really good. Second up 1600 was super, but you think he's only going to get better. And Dean touched on the weight with 53 kilos there yesterday, but 2000 metres is beyond. We've seen him go to the Derby and win that, but he just gives the impression that the more ground he gets, the better he's going to get and the further he's going to beat these horses by.
Dino, just one via the SMS, going back to the last at Sportsbet Ballarat. We certainly weren't wanting to be negative on the performance of Aqua Girl, talking about a number of horses behind, and just your overall rating on that performance of Aqua Girl and what we've seen from her previously, and how you lined that up yesterday.
Yeah, she certainly was. It was good. You know, kept building her momentum. It was only that run on soft ground down the straight in the Century Stakes that was sort of out of character. She had no luck at Moonee Valley before that behind Yulong Command, and the current Yulong Command form line before that was excellent. So, yeah, look, she's going really well, and a lot of owners. So, yeah, you've got to remember that. They were deserving of it, and the Wiley Dalziel team, obviously Ballarat-centric, would be a great result for them to come home a winner in the last yesterday.
Yeah. They apologies if we appeared to gloss over the good performance of Aqua Girl winning the last. Talk about Willie Pike, Dean, and discussions of who's the best rider. I think sometimes they just they fill a bit of fodder and fill newspapers and talk time type of stuff. But you know, Willie Pike, when he was over here and he was getting opportunities for the likes of Team Hawks, he proved he can mix it in the big league.
He was striking very well over here at around 20%. He's now back home, and of course he couldn't venture over this spring. He's currently ridden 97 winners for the season already, striking at 30%, which makes him 34 wins ahead of James McDonald on the Australian Premiership. But that strike rate's just quite incredible. And he's an elite rider, we know that. And he's certainly got Ascot worked out the way he just picks his way through. The last race, Pike didn't come to fruition yesterday. A lot of us hoped it did, but he couldn't quite get God has spoken home in the last.
And Richard from Kew must have a keen eye on the Perth form. Just wondering your thoughts on the evolution of Clint Johnson-Porter, who he believes could even be an heir apparent over there.
I think he's number three nearly at the moment. I think you're pretty comfortable to say William Pike's number one, and that Chrissy Parnham is number two. And Chris had a great day yesterday as well. So, but Clint Johnson Porter and him are equal on the WA Premiership at 45 wins each. But in the city, William Pike at 59, Chris Parnham 31, Clint Johnson Porter 25, and then it's down to Brad Ruilla at 12, who's having a really good season too. For Brad doesn't get a lot of opportunities because of his weight. So, but Clint Johnson Porter, he's the next in line.
Getting close to the end of the hour, so we won't have a listen to any other races from WA, but Treasured Star taking out the Guineas, your good friend and many people's good friend, our good friend Simon Miller taking out the Jungle Mist after a frustrating day, Dino. It was a good day's racing there as they build to their feature time of the year.
Yeah, it was. Treasured Star's win in the Guineas is outstanding. Loped away from them late, and she's not. There's not one of the big, powerful sort of filly, but a good filly nonetheless. And I think got a really good future. And as you said, the Simon Miller team 3 seconds in a row, but then won the Jungle Mist.
The Gong was worth $1 million in Kembla yesterday, and Robert and Luke Price combined with Brock Ryan aboard Counter Rupee.
Flatten for the run home, and Archidemus is several lengths clear from Dawn Passage giving chase. It's Shades of Last Year. Archidemus from Dawn Passage, but Count de Rupee is descending on them quickly, and Count de Rupee takes the lead now in the Gong of the 150. Nudges running home to second, and then came Yamazaki, but it's a local victory. Count de Rupee for Brock Ryan, won it by 2 lengths to Nudge. Yamazaki.
Well, he just dominated that race, and the I'm Thunderstruck form, no surprise to see it to the fore, Brendan.
Yep, definitely not. No I'm Thunderstruck to worry about there. Yesterday, Archidemus went along at a reasonable gallop, gave the kick on the turn, and horses midfield and beyond were there to run on by. Count the Rupee, good job off the wide draw. Nudges run well, as you would expect, and Yamazaki closed it off nicely. But, the Golden Eagle form right to the fore there yesterday with the winner.
He's massed a good deal of prize money in the last few weeks, Count de Rupee, Dino.
Yeah, he's one that snuck up on me, Warren, but then you sort of look back through his career and you got a feel for the connections of a horse called Super Effort on the... 2nd of January this year at Kensington. They ran second to Private Eye and third was Count de Rupee, so they were a bit stiff there, really.
Other highlights from racing around Australia yesterday. Bo Mertens had a four-timer at Tatura, and Tony Gollum had Zoo Style back in form with a big win from a long injury-enforced break in Queensland. Plenty of other racing right around Australia. The Penshurst Cup went to the Mara and Eustace team back in the Western Districts. I'm sure that would have been something that Kieran was pleased to see. It's time to get the boys' wrap of racing around Australia yesterday.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Just gone 10 o'clock, Dino, so I'm out of time. Time for Brendan to take the reins. How do you wrap up yesterday?
I'll go with Count de Rupee as the run of the day. I hope they aim him at a race like the Doncaster. He reminds me of a younger version of Happy Clapper coming through the grades. He's a terrific horse, and he's the run of the day. The horse to follow for me is from Ballarat, and that was Way to Go, Paula. I think we've nominated the race at Pakenham for her in a couple of weeks' time. She can just about get the prize there.
Swan Hill and Kilmore today. Anything to keep an eye on?
Short but sweet in race one at Kilmore for me. Race one, number 10, Starion, comes through that Wongoon form line. I think that'll be strong for a race like this.
Great work, as always, Dino. Congratulations on another formula bit successful yesterday. Look forward to hearing you right throughout the week.
Terrific. Thank you, Warren.
Dean Lister there. Brendan Delaney, what are we looking forward to Sunday Central the next couple of hours?